Hello, this is John Salonino with SSTI. I'm speaking today with Wayne Sumple, Program Manager, and Bob Tarani, Director of the Manufacturing and Supply Chain Initiative of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology. This initiative was the 2008 winner of SSTI's Excellence in TBET Award in the category Improving Competitiveness of Existing Industries. Thanks for joining us today. Can you provide a brief history and describe the focus of the Connecticut Center for Manufacturing Supply Chain Integration Program?
Sure, John. We are really part of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology, or we call it CCAT here. And it stemmed from an interest from the state of Connecticut that really wanted to help the small manufacturers that are involved in the aerospace and defense industry by providing them some grant money to do some process improvement efforts. So the main goal for the program when it first started was to administer this grant program that basically refunded some of the expenses provided or created by the small manufacturers to do some of these process improvement programs. In addition to that, we also were targeted to do some other creative development programs to help small manufacturers in their development of supply chains. So working with their customers and working with their first and second and third tier suppliers.
Yeah. I think the belief was that aerospace and defense is a strong component of the manufacturing base here in Connecticut, and then also a strong multiplier to overall economic development, manufacturing in general, that is. So starting with the aerospace and defense sector was prime. We have some big primes here like Sikorsky, Pratt & Whitney, Hamilton Sumstrand, that then work through their supply chains to over 1,000 smaller manufacturers. So it was a rich base for opportunities for this program.
Thanks. And so what would you consider then the main thrust of your program to be, and how then do you advance each of these thrusts?
Well, like I said with the first question, one of the primary goals was to administer this grant program. So we had basically a 50-50 match program where if one of the small manufacturers went out and did a lean manufacturing, Six Sigma, any kind of process improvement project, that we would take a look at that project, make sure that it met the criteria that we had developed, make sure that it really was a program designed and developed along the lines of lean manufacturing. And when they were completed and done with the program or with the project, we would go out and ensure and ask for some results back in terms of what kind of improvement metrics that they were able to meet. And that's how we and we call it the Aerospace and Defense Initiative, the ADI program. That really was the primary program of the initiative.
I think from the beginning we realized that two things: project-based improvement was important, not just training, and second, that it needed to be measurable. Metrics had to be produced and tracked so we could understand that the program was working. The other thing I might add is that from a state economic development point of view, productivity improvement has to be balanced with some other activities, because it alone could lead to job loss versus with the real intent of job security and job gain. So we augmented the program with two other components. One is market expansion, top-line growth opportunities for the companies. Things like Wayne brings a group to the International Air Show in either Paris or Farnborough each year to give them new market opportunities for their products and services. And the other is relative to sustaining these improvements. It is a continuous improvement need. So we look a lot at the workforce development in parallel with the productivity improvement.
This might also be a good time to put it in perspective. In the state of Connecticut, the state has approximately 5,000 manufacturers And we have calculated that a good 20% or in the neighborhood of 1,000 of those have something to do with the aerospace and defense industry. So that's why the program, at least in its first phase, was geared towards the aerospace and defense companies.
Okay. And then maybe delving a little bit into the mechanics of the ADI program. Can you explain a little bit about perhaps the application or just the process and your reimbursement, external versus internal, that type of thing?
Well, we tried to keep the criteria as simple as we could. We wanted it to be aimed at the small manufacturers as opposed to the larger manufacturers, and we used 500 employees as kind of the demarcation line, and that's a number that's usually thrown around between the feds and the state in terms of what's a small and what's a large company. But so we said you needed to have less than 500 employees. We said that you needed to be doing at least $500,000 in aerospace or defense business over a two-year period, which pretty much included everybody that was in the aerospace and defense industry. It cut out the little guys that, or the big guys that might only have been doing a little project here, a little project there. That's not who we were aiming for. We wanted to go towards, we wanted to make the grant program available to those companies whose aerospace and defense was a major part of their program. And what we said was we could match whatever cost they spent on an outside consultant or an internal consultant who was leading and running one of these lean or process improvement programs in terms of dollar amounts.
And then how many companies or projects have you been funding in each year about?
Bob, I think you have those numbers.
Yeah. Well, the program has just about come to an end. It's lasted for about over 3 years. And in that time, we've funded 244 different projects at companies. So we've made quite an impact.
Okay, thank you. Something that the judges particularly enjoyed from reading your application was looking at the metrics that were included. What are some of the metrics that you've used to measure your return on investment?
Well, like I said, from the beginning, we felt it was important to measure this and compile the data. So we kept metrics from every project, and not every project touched all of these metrics, but the metrics fall into generally one or two of these five categories I'm going to mention, and those being fast, efficient, flexible, capable, or compact. Lean practitioners will tell you that, you know, these are important in terms of, fast is the lead time component. How quickly can you respond to customer demand? Efficient is the cycle time improvement, which directly relates to cost incurred. Flexibility is the agility of the organization to act quickly and change over. And typically relates to setup time in a manufacturing type process. Capable is the quality component, which, you know, in aerospace has very high demands on quality. And typically that's, we like to see that measured in DPMO, defects per million opportunity. And then the last is compact and space reduction, how tightly knit is the factory floor to minimize waste, whether it be energy, motion, rent. It's just better to have a smaller, compact factory that's running efficiently. So the metrics we collected generally fell into one or two of those categories, depending on the type of project, and that's the compilation we've kept. And some of the numbers in those categories, again, would be what we would expect. Lead time improvement on the order of 53% was the number. So half is, better, as again, twice as fast as you were before you did the project in terms of responding to customer demand. Cycle time improvements on the order of 37%. These are aggregate percentages. Flexibility, setup time reductions on the order of 50%. Quality level improvements, 48%. And space reductions, 39%.
So then, how have the companies that have participated in this program, how have they been tied into other programs, either at CCAT or other ones across the state?
We try to work with all of the other economic development organizations in the state, and in the state of Connecticut there happens to be a number of them. There's a Connecticut Business and Industry Association. There's a local MEP, which is the CONSTEP program, is the Local Manufacturing and Extension Partnership. Many of our customers used a program that was put out by our utility company, Northeast Utilities. They had a program similar that we were able to piggyback with called the Prime Program, and they were offering a small dollar amount if a company did a process improvement program that could be measured in kilowatts, and we would pick up the difference between that and whatever else, what other costs that they had. Occasionally our Department of Labor, our state Department of Labor, will have monies available to help in training. So we would allow the first part of a project that was classified as training to be covered under that program, and then we would pick up the, half of the remaining costs. So we try to piggyback as often as we could. We also had a number of clients, we call them clients, a number of SMEs that were using the ADI funding and then would learn about some of the other programs that we have here at CCAT. So, for instance, we had a number of companies that worked with our modeling and simulation organization to help them with plant layouts. We do some simulation things. We had a number of companies work with our machining, our laser lab, with some of their machining issues and problems. We used the MEP, like I said before. CONSTEP was actually provided more support from a service provider than any other service provider in the state out of our list of available service providers. So we think we did a pretty good job of trying to collaborate and work with the rest of the organizations in the state.
And so one of the reasons why we're doing these podcasts is that there are other states and regions that, in recognizing your excellence and being an award winner, may say, we really want to produce a similar program in our state. So preface this question this way. Is there a critical component of your program, if excluded when attempted to be replicated in another location, would really limit its effectiveness?
Well, I'll jump in on that one.
Sure.
I think one of the things is availability of funds to create this incentive. I mean, we had the $2 million that Wayne mentioned as the incentive to pay half the cost of the projects, and that could be a something that prevents people from engaging in this if they don't have the monies to make available. Things are tight right now in the economy, and then a lot of states are strapped for their revenue stream. So it could be barrier. But the thing we found is that even though it sounded like a real incentive, and the real numbers, though, were that the company spent a lot more money than we reimbursed them for. Either they maxed out the 50 or 75K limits and continued to do projects on their own because they saw the benefit, or if you looked at what we funded, which was just their outside cost, the consultant cost, but if you really track their total cost, which included their in labor, their internal labor to run these projects, that could be four or five times higher than the consultant cost. So the point we make to people is don't let that incentive scare you. If you can't raise the money to stimulate it that way, you can still show companies the return on investment, the kind of gains that I mentioned in those metrics, and make the business case that says this is a good thing to do regardless of whether we have money to reimburse your cost, because at the end of the day, it is going to be a positive return, a good payback period for you. And companies certainly saw that before they as they started getting into it and put their people on these projects.
I think another critical component was the fact that CMSCI and CCAT were recognized as being really a neutral party, unbiased, in terms of we weren't providing that consulting service in addition to having the money. We really were able to go into a company and say, listen, we've got a pot of money. you need to implement some process improvement. Now, some of them already knew that they needed to. Sometimes it took a little bit of us to convince them to show us, you know, we needed to show them the numbers to get them started. Some people were way along on their lean journey. Some were just starting. But the point is, we were able to say, we have money. As long as you meet our criteria, submit a good proposal, you're really going to do something that's going to affect your processes, we will reimburse you 50% of whatever that cost is, and we don't care who you go use as long as they're legitimate service providers. You know, we did a cursory check of service providers to make sure they really knew what they were talking about in terms of providing lean services and that they had some experience somewhere along the line. So I think that whole unbiased, neutral condition makes a big difference when you go in there trying to tell somebody and trying to help somebody to do their process improvement programs.
Yeah, you're not perceived as trying to sell them something.
Right.
Right. Okay. And then my last question is just if do you have any additional lessons learned from administering this program that you'd like to share?
Well, we kept it the first thing is I think we kept it flexible. I mean, we tried to respond to the needs of the manufacturers. So we conducted some in-process surveys and always were open to, discussion with, the small manufacturer to see what met their needs. So a couple of things we did was, we adapted the program to include the internal experts, for instance. We saw that demand pop up as we worked it. The other thing was initially we weren't getting a lot of projects that had that integration of the supply chain, that was that stretched beyond the internal factory, the four walls, and included either customer or sub-tier supplier. So we added that extra $25,000 incentive. So those are the main advice there, that I think keep it flexible and adapt as needed. Don't just be lock it in. The last thing I would offer, and Wayne may have others, but is you can't over-communicate. It just took what I thought was forever to get the word out. Even though we launched the program in a letter from our governor to all the manufacturers in our database, and it had, it was on her letterhead and, signed by her, and, you'd think people would respond, but so many people just missed it or didn't hear about it, and, the more communication you can do to launch it and get some buzz going about how good the program is, it's very important to the success.
Wayne and Bob, thanks so much for talking to us today. If our listeners want any additional information about CCAT, they can find it at www.ccat.us. For more information about SSTI's Excellence in TBET Awards, visit www.sstiawards.org.